Mar writes that immediately following Yom HaKippurim, we are supposed to think about Chag HaSukkos and to discuss the halachos and to learn it, which is why every year I'm inspired. My father, right after they finish davening in YU, he goes home to eat, and they have an hour shiur on Hilchos Sukkah back in the Beis Medrash. All the boys come back. It's an amazing thing, and I was told that last night he did it again, as he always does. He should have many more years to do it. So let us try to be Mekayim that Ramah. We start with the pasuk in Parshas Emor, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael Yeshu Basukos. What is curious here is three times in this pasuk, when we are told about the instruction to sit in the sukkah, it is formulated as Teshu. We're supposed to sit in there. What exactly does it mean? So we are familiar with the Gemara that makes a drasha, Teshu Ke'en Toduru, which means we should live in the sukkah the same way we would live in our homes. But if you read it as a very simple pasuk, it means the obligation to be in the sukkah is only if one is going to sit. And that is really a very curious terminology that we're going to have to think about. There's a famous question that is asked by the tour. You know, every holiday has its famous question, and this probably is the most famous question of the tour. How do I know that it's a famous question? Because my son, who is in first grade, came home from school and asked, what's the reason why we have, if we know that the Torah says Sukkos is to remind us of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kiba Sukkos Hoshavti is B'nai Yisrael, then why don't we celebrate Sukkos on Pesach? And that is a very good question. And the Torah gives his answer, and the Aruch HaShulchan gives an alternative shot, not the topic of our shir today, but something that we definitely need to think about during this time of year. What we will discuss is the fascinating development of halacha with regard to the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. And we started to talk about it this morning, but really it's a very complicated story, and it's something that if you just look in the psukim themselves, you really won't find any trace to this complicated discussion, and it's only as the years go on and as the halacha continue to develop, this bracha seems to have taken on a very different understanding than perhaps what it originally was intended to be. So let us begin with the original statement of the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Memhei Amud Beis. Writes the Gemara that there is a major dispute amongst the Amoraim. We have two mitzvos that are the highlight of Sukkos. One is sitting in the sukkah, eating in the sukkah, sleeping in the sukkah. We're going to call that all one mitzvah. And the second mitzvah that is unique to Sukkos is the Dalet Minim, Ulekachtam Lachem Bayom HaRishon. So the Gemara says, obviously, just as we have a bracha for every mitzvah that we do, both a mitzvah d'araisa and a mitzvah midrabanan, so we make a bracha on lighting Hanukkah candles, we make a bracha on blowing the shofar, which is d'araisa, we make a bracha on shaking the lulav, so the Gemara says, well, here we have a mitzvah that takes place over the course of an entire week. So how many times should a person recite the bracha number one of Leishei Basukah, and number two, the bracha of Al Netilas Lulav? Throughout the duration of the week, you're probably going to do the mitzvah many times. So how many times should that bracha be recited? Says the Gemara, three divergent opinions. Number one, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Lulav Shiva, you make a bracha on the Lulav every single day of Sukkos, a new bracha. However, Sukkah Yom Echad, Sukkah, you only make a bracha once at the beginning of Yom Tov, and that will carry you through the entire duration of Sukkos. No reason to make a second bracha any further after the first day. Or if you're in the hospital the first day, then you make it the second day. But the first time you make the bracha, that will get you through the entire duration of Yom Tov. Hold off on the questions for a minute. Let's just go through the Gemara. So the Gemara says this is the first opinion. Why? Why would you only make a bracha on Sukkah once and lulav every day? Well, the Gemara says it's very simple. Because the mitzvah of Sukkah goes for 7 days without any gap, without any interruption. It is one continuous mitzvah that goes uninterrupted from the beginning of Sukkot until the end, and therefore one bracha should suffice. However, the Gemara says you contrast that to lulav. One is not able to fulfill the mitzvah of netilas lulav of dalet minim balayla. You can only shake lulav during the day. That is the Mishnah Megillah Daf Chaf, and therefore, says the Gemara, since lulav has an interruption every night, and you would not be able to shake the dalet minim even if you wanted to, you would not be able to shake them balayla. Therefore, says the Gemara, every day has a new obligation, which is renewed by the new day that came in, and therefore a new bracha would be required. That is the first opinion of the Gemara, and now the Gemara comes to the second opinion, which is the opposite. This opinion is of the position, Sukkah Shiva, you make a bracha on Sukkah 7 days, every single day you make a new bracha, and Lulav Yom Echad, you only make a bracha on the Lulav the first day of Sukkos. Well, how do you explain that? Says the Gemara, very simple. Look at the Pesukim in Chumash. It says in the Torah, Basukos Teishvu Shivas Yamim, you have an obligation to sit in Sukkah Midaraisa every day of the Yomtiv. And therefore, you should make a new bracha every day because the Torah told you to sit in the Sukkah every day. However, when you look at the instruction that we're given for the Dalet Minim, we are told, Ulakachtem Lachem, Bayom HaRishon Priyetz Hadar, only on the first day. And therefore, says the Gemara, since our obligation Midaraisa is only to shake lulav the first day and nothing more, therefore we assume that there's no reason to make a bracha beyond the first day of Sukkot. And as we know, we adopt the third position. And that is where Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh shiva. You will make a bracha all 7 days of Leishei Basukkah. You will make a bracha all 7 days of Al Netilas Lulav. Doesn't matter that you only have a chiv daraisa of lulav on the first day. It doesn't make a difference because we make a bracha on mitzvahs derabanan as well. Like we said, Mikra Megillah, Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, all the mitzvahs derabanan, we make a bracha on them as well. And therefore, we will make a bracha on Dalet Minim the entire duration of Sukkis, and we will make a bracha of Leishei Basukkah the entire duration of Yom Tov as well. This is quoted lahalacha in the Rambam in Hilchas Shofar, which is surprising why the Rambam writes the laws of Dalet Minim and Sukkah in Hilchos Shofar. Why are they put together? Very interesting question. And as we know, everything in the Rambam is very specific and very particular. So you have to wonder why he decided to put together Shofar and all the halachas that are relevant to Rosh Hashanah together with the halachas that are relevant to Sukkot. There must be something there, but that's not the topic of today's shir either. So the Rambam writes there, Kol Zman Shei kanes leishei basuka kol shiva. You know, my father once told me he thinks it's arrogant when people say in a shir, you know, we're not going to discuss that here. It makes it sound like I have so much to say on that topic, and you know, I'll give another shir. I don't have so much to say on it. The answer is I don't know. I don't have anything to say about it, so that's why we're not going to discuss it here. If I had what to say, I would. But it's something to consider. So the Rambam says leishei basuka kol shiva. It's arrogant for someone like my father to say that because you know that he has what to say on everything. So for someone like me, it's simple. It's not a problem. So the Rambam says, you should sit in the Sukkah kol shiva, and mevarech kodem sheyeshev. The Rambam says you should make the bracha each time before you sit down. Asher kedushan mitzosav tzivan aleshev basukkah. Then the Rambam writes in the next parak, mishachar beis hamigdash, now that we don't have a beis hamigdash, we shake the lulav every day of Sukkot, not just the first, v'kol yom v'yom mevarech alav. And every day, says the Rambam, you make that bracha over and over again. That is the maskana of the Gemara. That is the way the Rambam paskins as well. So now, we've established that the bracha of Leishei Basukkah is supposed to be said every day throughout the duration of Yom Tov. However, we have to figure out which specific activities warrant our making the bracha of Leishei Basukkah. And that is where this becomes very convoluted, very complicated. If you would have just taken the Gemara at face value, Leishei Basukkah, every time I go in the Sukkah, I make a bracha. And in fact, that is the position of many Rishonim. The Rif writes that every time somebody goes into the Sukkah throughout the duration of Yom Tov, you make a bracha again and again and again. Doesn't matter how many times you go in, and it does not matter what you do in the Sukkah or do not do. You just come into the Sukkah, and you're standing around talking to a bunch of friends, or you're sitting around the table. There's no food there, there's no drink, there's nothing else to do, nobody's learning, you're just talking Lashon Hara. My father always says, Teishvu Kein Tadiru means you speak Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table. Got to speak Lashon Hara in the Sukkah also. So that's a big chumrah, big hither. Obviously a joke, but we do whatever we do in the Sukkah. Say the Rishonim, you should make a bracha, Leishei Basukkah. Why not? The mitzvah is, I should be in the Sukkah. So therefore, the Rif is of the opinion, every time you go in, you make a bracha, even if you don't do anything in there. Very literally, Leishei Basukkah means to sit in the Sukkah. However, this is not accepted by all the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosis in Brachos, as well as in Tosis in Sukkah Daf Memhei, writes a completely trailblazing position, something that we don't find in the Gemara. And it's unprecedented before Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe some of the Gaonim said it, but none of the other Rishonim say that. Rabbeinu Tam says that we don't make a bracha in the Sukkah, even if we're going to go in, unless we are going to eat food. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says, and this is a tremendous chiddush. And this is quoted as well in the Mordechai. The Mordechai says, some positions believe, some say every time you go into the Sukkah and you plan to sit there, you make a bracha. Doesn't matter if you have food with you or not. However, he says, Rabbeinu Tam cholek ve'omer, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he feels that you make the bracha only on the Suda. And that is a tremendous chiddush. And what's even more surprising is that when it comes to the halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch accepts this position of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Nagu she'ein mevarech ala suka, ela b'shas ha'achila. The Mechaber writes, we only make a bracha leshe basuka when someone has intent to eat in the sukkah. Now that's very troubling, number one, because Rabbeinu Tam is the minority opinion here. Most of the other Rishonim are of the opinion that you make a bracha leshe basuka every time you go in the sukkah. That is why the Vilna Gaon accepts those positions, and he rejects Rabbeinu Tam. The Vilna Gaon said, doesn't matter if you want to eat in the sukkah or not, you make a bracha leshe basuka every time you go in. However, the Mechaber does not accept that, and he adopts the position of Rabbeinu Tam, which is troubling, number one, because Rabbeinu Tam seems to be outvoted, and number two, it's troubling because Rabbi Yosef Karo himself writes in the Hakdama to the Beis Yosef. He said, how am I deciding what the halacha should be throughout Shulchan Aruch? He says, well, we have three great opinions, and those are the opinions of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. So the Rif and the Rambam are Chachmei Svarad. The Rush was one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. And the Beis Yosef writes that whenever I have two positions that agree, I'm going to take theirs over the third. So even though sometimes it's going to turn out Chachmei Ashkenaz are right and sometimes Chachmei Svarad are right, doesn't matter. I'm always going to adopt the two positions. Now here, the Mechaber seems to go against his own rule because the Rush says one way. However, we have the position of the Rambam and the Rif, which say that every time you go into the sukkah, you should make a new bracha. So this is a very troubling statement of the Mechaber, but this is the Psak. This, as we know, has been the adopted position of the Ashkenazim, that we make a bracha every time we go into the sukkah, only if we plan to eat, but not just if a person walks in. That would not warrant a leshe basukah. Now what's still unclear is, Rabbeinu Tam does not yet identify what kind of food do you need to eat that would warrant a bracha of leshe basukah. And that gets into another big discussion in the Achronim to try to figure out, well, now that the only time you make a leshe basukah is when you plan to have something to eat, what about if you're not planning to wash? What if you're not planning to have a mizonos? You're not going to have something that warrants a birchas hamazon or an ala michya. Is that something that would obligate you to make a leshe basukah as well? This is a major, major discussion. And the problem is, the minhag ha'olam is that we don't make a bracha leshe basukah unless we are eating something that is mizonos or something that is hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. And that is a very troubling minhag. That is a very problematic minhag. Not that it's incorrect, but it's very hard to understand. Why? Because we paskin, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands this in Hilchos Sukkah, in Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes, the Mishnah Berurah writes very clearly from earlier Rishonim, and the Mechaber accepts this as well. If somebody is going to eat a Sudas Keva, let's say for example, some people think, well, I'm going to be in the office in Manhattan, and there is no Sukkah available. By the time I get to 34th Street to go to the Sukkah, I'm going to waste my whole lunch hour, so I don't want to do that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring some food throughout the duration of Yom Tov that does not have any bracha of mizonos or hamotzi, and this way I'll be able to eat my lunch in the office. I won't have a problem. So somebody told me this morning that he eats every day for lunch. He's a lawyer. He gets paid by the hour, so he makes sure that he wants to have a quick lunch. He doesn't want to lose out. Time is money. So he eats two oranges. Is that what he said? He eats two oranges for lunch every day. Okay, if all you're eating for lunch every day is two oranges, that's not a kaviyah suda. That's called a snack, just to get you through the day. And therefore, that would obviously not obligate you in sitting in sukkah. However, let's say somebody brings to work a piece of salmon. That's a real meal. Or somebody brings something else to work, a piece of chicken, a piece of meat, whatever it might be. It's shahakol. There is no mizonos, there's no hamotzi, but it's obviously a kviya suda. So the Rush writes and the Shulchan Aruch adopts this position, you have to eat that in the sukkah. You don't have a tour just because it doesn't have mizonos or hamotzi. You don't have a tour to eat it in your office. You have no right to eat that outside of the sukkah. You must eat that in the sukkah. And the question is, if that's the case, that you have to eat it in the sukkah, why then do we assume that you don't also make a leshe basukah? This is a big problem. And the truth is, my father always points out, that because we have the minhag not to make a leshe basukah on items that are not mizonos or hamotzi, that has caused a major zilzal for us, that we don't think about the fact that we have an obligation to sit in the sukkah when we're kovei asuda. When we sit down and we eat lunch, even if it's shahakol, most people don't think that they have an obligation to sit in the sukkah, and that is a major mistake. It reminds me, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, he says, we're machmir for the position of the Behag, that if somebody forgot one day of Sfira, you continue to count Sfira, but you don't make a bracha. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it has caused a major zilzal, because some people who miss one day think that now that I don't make a bracha, I don't have to count at all, and that is a mistake. You do have to continue to count. Just we say we're machmir, like the Shita of the Bahag, not to make a bracha, but it's going to cause people to be mezalzel in the whole mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and now they forget about it entirely. It's the same kind of concern here. We have a minag, nobody really understands why, we have a minag that we don't make a leshe basuka unless we are washing or we are having a mezonos. That does not mean that if you're not washing, but you're kovea suda, that you don't have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah. You do have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah. If you're eating something that is an absolute meal, a lunch or a dinner, but you just happen to only be making a shehakol niyabedvaro, you still have an obligation to sit in the sukkah for that meal, because that would be considered a kviyas suda. Again, why we don't make a leshe basukkah is the million-dollar question that we need to think about, but sitting in sukkah itself is something that we certainly do have an obligation to do, even under those circumstances.